Well, good evening. It's now December 3rd, 1956 hours. Ward Green here. And I'm very excited to present this evening's presentation. Just a minute. I've got a problem here that I have to fix. Hang on. Very excited. I had a series of, one technical issue today that cost me or set me into a recovery mode. It started me into doing a lot of different adaptive changes. I wish I'd set this up before I started. I've been doing so many things today. It's hard to keep track of everything. It's been hard to keep track of all the things that I needed to fix and set up and adjust, but maybe this works. Let's see, does this work? No, not yet. Hang on. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Pretty good. That'll work. I think that'll work. I just need to shield my face from the light of the heater. That's all. No, it's been another issue. Things falling on the floor, but no, it's been a major, major adjustment. But my first reaction is always, well, it's horror. If something goes wrong, it's terrifying. But at the same time, it's the only time. It's the only chance I ever get to figure out or modify my setup to understand how it works. That's the only time I get to do it. I don't get to do it any other time. So. Just let me adjust something here if I can. Is this good? Yeah. So let's put that down. It's better, I think. It's just a little better for the light shining on my face. Yeah, I had an amazing experience because of the problems I had. What happened was one of my Acer monitors failed at first. That was the first problem. But it was right after a power outage. So it might have been damaged by the outage. I don't know. But it failed, and then I couldn't get it to work again. So then, and then a little while later, the second Acer also failed. They both failed. I couldn't believe, but I mean, it didn't. They didn't really fail because the other one works. It's a long story. All the things I tried in order to finally get to where I am now, where the one of my Acers, the one that works, is connected to the M1 Mac Mini. The other one doesn't work, even though I tried connecting it. And I'll try again after this. I've got to get going on this video. But anyway, I think we'll start the video with this amazing, wonderful song by Joshua Stefan, live in Germany, which is a broadcast or a YouTube video that which we've seen parts of already on this, on my... I wouldn't call it a broadcast, on my videos. We've seen this by, it's by Yosho Stefan. His father is in the band on Yosho's left, which is to our right. And that's that way. And Richard Smith is to Yosho's right, which is our left. And he's got a bass player who may be his regular bass player, I'm not sure, and he's got a fiddle player. I don't know who the bass player or the fiddle player are actually for sure, but that's the band. And so let's listen. Right, but let me try and get the volume right. Where's the volume? Let's see. Where's the volume? It's not visible. That's strange. I don't see the volume level. Okay, the volume level isn't working. Let's go into the audio and find out what's wrong with it. If we can. Why is it? It's the built-in output volume. It's maximum. Okay. That should be better now, but I don't understand why I can't control it. My keyboard's not working. I guess. Right. Yeah, that was great, but I just realized my keyboard's not connected right now. The mouse is, so it's interesting because they're both connected to the same device. I don't know why that is. I don't need it. I don't need it for this broadcast anyway, but I'm just curious what happened to it, because it would be good to know if it's working. Yeah, it's working now. Okay, disconnecting and reconnecting, it fixed it. Well, that's great. That means the volume now works. Yeah, volume control works. So, great. Okay, the keyboard's working again. Fantastic. But, you know, I've had so many technical issues today that I really didn't need one more technical issue. But I don't know what happens, but I've heard stories or reports online about people who've had a monitor stopped connecting at some point, but they were using USB, and, you know, at least the one report that I heard about to do with a similar problem to what I had, it was connecting with USB, whereas I'm not connecting with USB. I'm using USB adapters to adapt to DisplayPort and HDMI. So I was connected by a DisplayPort. That failed. I tried connecting over HDMI. That failed with that one monitor. But I even tried connecting one of my other monitors. My other available monitor, the Philips, I tried that, and that failed too. So it's more complex, I think, of a problem. I mean, it's a really interesting, complex problem. So we can look at it either as a problem, or we can look at it as a great blessing, because it's an opportunity to learn something about technical things that we never get otherwise. We don't get opportunities to learn unless we have a problem. If everything works, we don't learn anything other than how to connect one plug to another plug, and that's all we really learn, you know. I mean, seemingly, we don't learn much, but when we have a problem, we really learn a lot. I mean, I swapped cables. I swapped the cable. So I swapped the cable from the bottom Acer to the top Acer, and the top Acer still worked with the cable from the bottom one substituted. So the cable was okay, and the system was okay in that sense. It was still sending signal on that cable, and it could work with the other monitor. So there was no input, however, on the bottom monitor. So I had a big problem. I unplugged the top Acer to see if that would help the bottom one to connect, or that didn't help. I had no signal for the top Acer display by HDMI through the Element Hub. Why is that? Sounds like I switched cable to an HDMI cable. But I didn't mention that. I just said no signal for top Acer display by HDMI through Element Hub. Yeah, that might be what I tried next. It's possible. I mean, that's what it sounds like I did. But, I mean, I'm not certain if I sometimes can make a mistake in writing it down. But that's what I underlined the word HDMI, so it looks like that's what I did. But then there was no connection for the top Acer display connected directly to the M1 Max either. Top meaning the one above. There are two of them, one's above the other one. So the top Acer display didn't work even directly connected to the display port adapter to the USB Thunderbolt of the M1 Max. Strange. And then, but then I tried connecting the BenQ monitor through the Element Hub. There was no signal for it. So I was trying all these things using the same Element Hub to see if the Element Hub was working. But the strange thing is, it is working. And the way I know it's working is because I also have some hard drives connected to it. So, and they're always connected. They stay connected. There's no problem with them. So the hub is working, apparently. But maybe the hub's not working with the display. That's the problem. But anyway, I rebooted the system with the bottom Acer connected, the Philips, the bottom Philips, which is the one I normally use, and the AOC plus the with four monitors connected, and only three monitors worked. So I didn't connect the top one, the top Acer at that point. So I tried to connect four monitors, one of which was the bottom Acer. That failed because only three worked. So, but the two hard drives I noted at that point, I already knew this, but I wrote it down here, that the two hard drives were connecting through the hub. So the hub's not the problem, apparently. But the Acer, the bottom Acer was also connected through the Element hub, and it was not working. So even though the hard drives worked through the hub, the display didn't. So I disconnected the bottom Philips to see whether that would let the bottom Acer connect, you know, because maybe it could only support a certain number of monitors. But that didn't work. I shut down first, and then I disconnected the Philips and rebooted, and it just didn't work. I still had this. It didn't connect the Acer monitor, so it was only two monitors at that point. Anyway, I went back to the way I had it, but I changed the Philips, I changed the Philips to the Element hub from the Thunderbolt 2. Here's where I made some progress. I plugged the Philips, it was plugged into the Thunderbolt 2 hub, or dock, I should say, the Thunderbolt 2 dock. It was getting its signal from that. The Philips, bottom Philips monitor, when I switched it over to the Element hub, to the Element hub, it worked at that point. So that was the first thing I had working, a display working through the Element hub. It's the first time I had it working, again, through the Element hub. So then I had three monitors at that point. It worked for three monitors, though. It still didn't connect the other monitor. Maybe I wasn't connected to it, I'm not sure, but I had three monitors. I think it was only three that worked out of four, though, at that point. But then I tried connecting the Acer to the Acer bottom, that is, the Acer bottom one, to the Tobenone dock. It didn't work, because the Philips had worked connected to that dock, the Tobenone Thunderbolt 2 dock. Three other monitors at this point were working, the Philips 4K monitor, the AOC, which is a 1440p monitor, and the M1 Max, which is the integrated, is it 3456? What is it? 3345. I forget the size of it. What's the size of the display? Let's go system about this Mac. Software, system report. Just graphics. Here we are. It's got a display. Where is it? 3456 by 2234. The built-in display. It's big. It's got a big display, but it's a 16-inch monitor. Anyway, that was connected along with the other two, the AOC and the Philips. Obviously, the integrated display is it doesn't need a connection. It's always connected internally. So the three monitors were working, but then I plugged the second top Philips into the Tobenone dock, the Thunderbolt 2 dock, and it worked too. So then I had two Philips working and four monitors altogether working. Then I tried connecting the BenQ to the Element hub using the HDMI to USB, but then I realized there was a problem, right? The first reboot, I had four monitors. Is that right? No, at the time of reboot, it only showed four monitors, so the BenQ didn't connect automatically. But when I rebooted, I had five monitors working again. So I got back to where I was before without the Acer that doesn't work. It's just black here in front of me, this one Acer. But the other Acer is now working with the M1 Mac Mini. It's displaying right now the desktop of the M1 Mac Mini on the top Acer, because the Acers only work with, they don't work with my M1 Macs anymore. So something happened that changed the way the M1 Max works with the Acer monitors, and the bottom Acer monitor doesn't work at all right now. As far as I know, it doesn't even work with, but it might work with the M1 Mac Mini. It didn't the first time I tried it, but maybe I did something wrong. But anyway, so the top Acer works with the M1 Mac Mini. And I've got five monitors working, the two Philips, the AOC, the BenQ, and the M1 3456x2234 internal integrated monitor. So that's my recovery. I'm complete. My recovery was complete, but I had to do some other things. Like I had to stick some adhesive. I decided I better stick some adhesive marks on the connectors or on the ports to make sure I kept track of what I was plugged into in the past. You know, so I wanted to keep track of which display was which cable and which port was plugged into which display so that I wouldn't lose track. Because the panic that sets in when you're changing everything around to try to, I mean, it's not really panic, but it seems like panic. It's not desperation or panic. It's really, it feels like that because you try so many things in such a short period of time. Troubleshooting feels like panic, right? So the way to allay that and offset the feeling of panic is to make notes and detailed notes. That's what I tried to do, but the notes never seem to be good enough. You can't remember some detail like I was finding there, even though I made detailed notes. I didn't write everything. If I wrote everything, I wouldn't have any time to do the troubleshooting and to get the system working again. So it works. Now I want to talk about another video, The World's Shortest Woman. And there's a channel on YouTube called Discover With Ruhi Sinnott, I think his name is Ruhi Sinnott. And he's got a lot. Yeah, Ruhi Sinnott. He's an independent documentary filmmaker. He makes a lot of films about the most polluted city on earth is one of them that he made. He made a film about the most dangerous road in the world. And he goes to these places and experiences these things. So he's talking to the world's shortest woman, 28 years old, 24 inches tall.
Hello everyone, Ruhi Sinnott here. Welcome to the extraordinary life of the world's smallest living person, Jyoti Amge, who is 24 inches.
Hello.
I was really surprised when I saw you. You were even shorter than what I expected. How tall are you?
Maybe height 24 inches, or maybe age 28 years.
What is your weight?
My weight 6 kg. Pura. Agar mera pair mein belt bhi laga hai, to waise to 5 kg hai.
When you were first born, what was your height and weight?
Mera 3 pound kuch weight tha, height mujhe na yaad nahi.
When did you stop growing?
Meri height stop jab main 3 saal ki thi, tab se meri height badhna stop ho gayi thi. Doctoron ne bataya ki mujhe mein jo kami hai wo hai hormones ki kami hai, isliye meri height nahi badh rahi.
Jyoti, whose body size has remained almost unchanged from age 3 to age 28, has a genetic disorder called primordial dwarfism. Doctors say she inherited a mutant gene from her parents. Even the teeth in her mouth are big for her face. Her thin voice and tiny body compel her to live a different life in Nagpur, India from everyone else.
Can you do hard physical activities like running, jumping?
No, I can't dare nahi sakti hu aur jumping bhi nahi kar sakti hu. Sirf main slow dheere dheere chal sakti hu.
Your clothes are specially tailored for you. You don't buy clothes from toddler store.
Main bahar agar shop karne jaati hu to log mujhe photo ke liye itna pareshan kar dete ki mujhe ghar wapas aana padta hai, shopping reh jaati hai. To meri main apne dress designer karti hu.
What is your shoe size?
Mere shoes ka size mujhe nahi pata hai kyunki mere pair mein problem hai, is wajah se main bade shoes pehnti hu.
Can I take you?
Yes.
All right. Your feet.
Jyoti, who cannot balance while standing due to the small surface area of her feet, wears plastic mold inside her socks so that she can walk. She enlarges her feet like this.
It's around 8.2 centimeters. It's very small.
Her ankles are even thinner than some people's fingers.
Can you wear this hat?
So that was, I mean, that's a 10-minute video. I don't know if we want to watch it all, but it's, I mean, right now we can certainly go there. Anyone could go and watch it on YouTube right at the moment, but that's where I was watching it. But, I mean, it's a fascinating problem that she has, but I don't suppose that it's a very... easy life for her at all. But I'm wondering about what it did occur to me, since vitamin K2 stimulates or facilitates bone growth, the formation of bones and the growth of bones when a person's young. It crossed my mind, you know, whether vitamin K2 might help people like that at the time when they're having this problem. But today, by the way, I took 6 drops of MK4 in the Thorn formulation, which has vitamin D in it, but to the quantity of 500 units per drop, international units of vitamin D. But also I took 6 of the MK7 vitamin K2 at the same time, and each of those gel caps, of which I took 6, has 1,000 units of vitamin D3. So the D3 that I've got based on that is about 9,000 today, which is, I think that's a reasonable amount. But if I want to reduce the amount of vitamin D, then I'm going to have to get more of the K2 without D in it, which I think I better do at some point. Whenever I order my next supplement, I'll try and do that. But I don't think there's too big a hurry for that. I don't think it's very easy to be getting vitamin D toxicity when you're taking K2. That's the reason I'm not too concerned. But it is a possible issue, so I want to be aware of it. And since the intestines can only hold 6,000 units of vitamin D at one time, you know, a person might choose to limit their vitamin D to 6,000 units a day, but a smaller person, of course, wouldn't even have the capacity to hold 6,000. But the reason I don't think it's a problem is because in the calcium factor book, the book is called The Calcium Factor, but by Carl Reich and Bob Barefoot, published in 2002, in that book it mentioned the use of vitamin D to treat arthritis. And the quantities used were quite large, so I'm not really concerned very much about the toxicity of vitamin D, provided a person's getting all of the proper nutrients, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, and so is K2. K2 is a fat-soluble vitamin, and they work together. So, and there's no known toxicity for vitamin K2, none that we know of. So it's not like we have to worry about how much K2, it's just that since we can have a lot of K2, maybe that can help the vitamin D to be processed, because that's what vitamin K2 in fact does, is it processes the vitamin D and uses it up. The question is, how much vitamin D can the vitamin K2 use? And I don't know that answer yet. I suspect it's quite a large number, though. That's what I suspect, but I don't really know. But I'm going to be cautious, because, you know, I want to try taking the K2 with less vitamin D and with more vitamin D to find out what the differences are. So that's a very interesting video about the world's shortest woman. The video maker, the filmmaker, his name is Ruhi Senit, I believe. He's got a lot of other videos, as far as I can tell, quite a few other videos about very unusual things, like places where there are very dangerous roads and the world's tallest man and things like that, which you can find by looking at his channel and by sometimes looking at the link contained in the subtext of that video. He has links to other videos. I'd like to do our study now, little children, so I hope you've enjoyed the presentation so far for today. I wanted to share the music that gives me so much joy, in that concert that was given in Germany in 2018 by Joshua Stefan and his friends, Richard Smith being the other wonderful and famous guitarist, world famous guitarist, who was playing with Yosho. So together they made they had a wonderful violin player and a wonderful bass player. I mean, it was And Yoshar's father was accompanying on guitar as well. It was all very well done. And some of the songs were done just, the one called Summertime is done with Richard and Yoshio by themselves. I believe no one else is playing with them for that song. Well, I'll hopefully share more of that until I've shared all of them, because they're all some of the best guitar playing and just the best music almost that you could ever imagine. It's jazz. It comes under the category of gypsy jazz. But it's, to me, it's some of the best music anyway. I've never heard music that inspires me more than that, I don't think. Very little music does inspire me more than that, because it's played so skillfully, partly. I mean, there's so much technique involved in the guitar playing. So a melody of David when he happened to be in the wilderness of Judah. I had so many problems today. I should be very depressed, maybe, but I think I learned a lot. And I got to reconfigure my system. What I might do is I might remove this Acer. But if it doesn't work, I'll have to remove it completely from my display setup. But I might move it and make another monitor, my main monitor, down below here. But I have to do that after this broadcast. I have to figure out what to do. I don't mind having the M1 Max up above on the other Acer monitor. That could be quite useful. So I wonder if something happened where Apple can update their Mac OS without my permission, and if something changed in the OS, because the older OS that was there, although they could have updated that one too, I suppose, but it wasn't connected or turned on. I don't know. It's hard to say what happened or why that would change. And then, well, also, first of all, why the one monitor would fail, that could have been the power outage that caused it to fail. So maybe it's damaged by the power outage. That could be what it is. But the other thing is, the other issue, but I think it's plugged into, I plug my units, they're always plugged into a power surge protector. I plug them into a surge protector as much as I possibly can, anyway. Where's that one going? Yeah, they're plugged into surge protection, I believe, so I don't understand. That could have explained the one Acer monitor, but it doesn't explain why the second Acer monitor works on the one system and not the other. Although it could. It could be also power system damage, I suppose. Or it could be somebody hacked my system, too. I don't know. But because it happened at exactly the same time as the power outage, it's got to be more logical to assume it was the power outage that caused it. Far more logical. So now let's pray, little children, for guidance here. A melody of David. Jehovah, help us to learn more about David's Psalms and the Psalms in general and all the Bible as we study it with an attempt, with our earnest effort to attempt to understand it in the best way, in the most comprehensive way, so as to help with our lives and with the lives of others, if we can share it with them in some way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A melody of David when he happened to be in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Psalm 63, you are my God. I keep looking for you. My soul does thirst for you. For you, my flesh has grown faint with longing, in a land dry and exhausted, where there is no water. Thus I have beheld you in the holy place, at seeing your strength and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my own lips will commend you. Thus I shall bless you during my lifetime. In your name I shall raise my palms, as with the best part, even fatness. My soul is satisfied, and with lips of joyful cries my mouth offers praise. When I have remembered you upon my lounge during the night watches, I meditate on you, for you have proved to be of assistance to me. And in the shadow of your wings I cry out joyfully. My soul has closely followed you. On me your right hand keeps fast hold. As for those who keep seeking my soul for its ruin, they will come into the lowest parts of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will become a mere portion for foxes, and the king himself will rejoice. Will, I can't say the word will. The king himself will, and the king himself will rejoice in God. There's something wrong with the way I transition. My own lips will commend you. I had trouble with that too, I think. They will become a mere portion for foxes. They will come into the lowest parts of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. Verse 10, they will become a mere portion for foxes, and the king himself will rejoice in God. Everyone swearing by him will boast, for the mouth of those speaking falsehood will be stopped up. Well, I forgot how to pronounce the word will, but from the W after another consonant, I can't. Everyone swearing by him will boast is not a problem, but himself will is a problem. The king himself will, because I have to finish the F. Himself will is easier to say than himself will. I have a problem. They will. That wasn't a problem, I don't think. They will be delivered. They will be, yeah. When it's they will be delivered, that's a more difficult to say than they will become somehow. They will be delivered. You see, it's a different way of pronouncing it or stressing. The accent is different from they will become is different from they will be delivered. That's much harder to say. They will come into the lowest parts of the earth. But even they will is not really too hard. But I was even having trouble with that. Where it said here, my own lips will commend you. Was that where I had trouble? I think that's where, but I'm not sure. I think that was where it was. It's that I'm under some kind of I'm in some post-traumatic shock, I think. I'm in a bit of it's a little bit of post-traumatic shock because of the failure, the equipment failure I had. Something might have failed, and that Acer monitor might be gone now. So I'm in a bit of post-traumatic shock. I'm not really, but that's not necessarily why I'm not reading perfectly well. And with lips of joyful cries, my mouth offers praise. I mean, in some ways, if I have fewer monitors, it's not going to be a disadvantage. That's why I bought more monitors in case one of them fails. I bought them for that reason, you know. So if one of them fails, it just makes my job easier because I don't have as many monitors and my system's less complex. It's not a bad thing if one fails. From the standpoint of less complexity, it's a good thing, but it was really, really nice having the monitors that I did have for as long as I did have them. It was very, very nice. So I'll just appreciate what I did have as well. As for those who keep seeking my soul for its ruin, they will come into the lowest parts of the earth. So can you imagine being, first of all, having a problem like that woman has, who's 28 years old, but she's never grown above 24 inches tall, what her life would be, what it would be like to have a problem like that. That must be a problem that very few people can relate to. Perhaps, but it's a very it's a very unusual problem, certainly. I think it's very nice, important. It's important to be educated on the various things that we can learn about physiology, too. So if we study somebody who has an unusual problem, we might learn something about physiology that we can use to help the rest of us as well. And I'm wondering about vitamin K2, whether that could help somebody like that. It's very possible that it could be of some benefit, if not a great deal of benefit, if the only problem is that there's a deficiency in vitamin K2, and that might be what's preventing the growth hormones, too, from working. But I'm not sure if that's even, you know, even close to correct. I just don't know. So shall we do Isaiah? Let's see if we can do Isaiah. But I mean, well, we didn't really discuss Psalms because I'm still in post-traumatic shock, and I didn't really read very well when I got down to the word will. It's just the word will. It's only because of its phonetics that I had difficulty. It's not like I had any problem with the word itself. My own lips will commend you. I sometimes have had problems with the word will because of the pronunciation. My own lips will commend you. My own lips will commend you. If I end the word lips first, it's not a problem. But when I try to read it fluently, sometimes I can get into trouble. My own lips will commend you. See, the word, the W requires will. It requires the forming of a very complex consonant, will. It's a complex consonant as far as the muscles in the mouth go. So, but David here is crying out to Jehovah, saying he's grateful. And the one verse that I wanted to mention most of all is this verse 3. Your loving kindness is better than life. That's what David said to Jehovah. And the footnote on that says loyal love, probably. Yeah, loyal love is the other translation of loving kindness. Your loyal love is better than life, David said to Jehovah. That's why he commends Jehovah. It's better than life itself. So all the problems of life, all of that stuff, all the whatever problems I have with my computer, or it's all nothing compared to, because that's just part of life. Whereas, in fact, that's not even part of life. That's just equipment. But life is our health. And David says God's loyal love is better than life even. So that just makes all my problems just want to disappear when I read that. At least insofar as I have technical issues with my equipment failing or something. I'm not really going to take it seriously. I can always buy another monitor too. It's an opportunity to purchase another different monitor that I can try with my system, right? I think it is. But if the system failed, that might not work, though. I have to be aware that might not work, because the failure might not be caused by the Acer, since one of them works with the other system, the M1 Mac Mini. And I can't get the M1 Mac Mini working with the HDMI either. As a second monitor or first monitor, I wasn't able to plug it into the HDMI and have it work. Maybe I didn't try it yet with HDMI. I definitely haven't tried all the combinations. I tried the bottom monitor, the bottom Acer with the HDMI, and it didn't work. But I also tried the bottom monitor with a USB-C to DisplayPort adapter, and it just wasn't working. But it was detecting that it was connected, because I had to disconnect it in order to get my boot screen with my login displayed. So there's a lot to learn about computers, and I never get to learn about them when I don't have problems. So I'm actually grateful for the problems, as strange as that may sound to some people. That's the only time I take any time. I don't take time to experiment. I don't play around. When something works, I do not miss. I don't change it or mess around with it, so to speak. Which is what could happen. I could end up, you know, messing things up so they don't work anymore if I mess around. So I don't mess around with anything that works. I go with it. I go with it because that's why I bought it, was for it to work. I didn't buy it so I could experiment. And if I do experiment something might fail during the experimentation, and I might never be able to get back to the state where it's working again. So I never experiment, ever, unless there's a failure. That's when I do experimentation. But I only experiment in the most logical way that I can think of, even when I have a failure, because I don't want to cause further failures by my efforts, you know. So it's been very interesting. I think it was the power failure that did it. And I don't know what happened yet, but it'll be evaluated over time. Oh, I have another issue to report on. By the way, we're up to 40 minutes now, 44 minutes of this video. But no, my other issue was I had this smell in the bathroom coming through the ductwork of the fan outlet for the bathroom. There's a fan in the bathroom that blows air out. There was a smell coming in through that fan. So some dead animal or some animals or some piece of something, maybe a crow dropped a piece of flesh down in there or something. Something got in there and it was rotting. I think there's rotten something, or maybe it's not rotten. I don't know what the smell was, but it wasn't pleasant. So I eventually finally realized that I'm not going to try to open that up and tear it all apart and put, you know, with the electrical in there, and I might have to do it in the dark because I'd have no lights if I turned off the electrical. I have to use flashlights, and I decided not to try to tear that apart. I just thought that I realized and did some research on Google. On Google, I found out you can just tape it up, seal it up. You have to just seal it up. But that's what I was already thinking that myself. I think at that point, I'd already realized that myself, but the Google confirmed it. It talked about what else you could do by putting anti-odor, or you know, putting some substance, some product to counteract a bad odor. You can put that product into the place where the odor is, or you can put it in the room which is affected by the odor. That's another thing you can do, but that's not a very good plan, because you don't know, you know. Then you're masking an odor, and the odor might be something that has bacteria in it. There might be bacteria in this air that's coming in. I might catch, that might be why I was getting sore throats and getting sick, was because of this thing in the bathroom. So that could have been the cause of it too. It could have been bacteria in the air, and I could have been, it could be very, very virulent. It could be a virus or a bacterium, but something that got into my throat could have been what was causing me to have those sore throats for the past, well, I had three of them. One of which took 78 grams, I think. And now I realize also that when I took the 36 grams that day, the reason why I had the pain in my stomach wasn't because of gas necessarily. It could have been gas, yeah, but it was associated with taking too much vitamin C. So when I reached my bowel tolerance limit, I had too much vitamin C in my stomach at the same time. So I had to stop taking it, but it was too late because I'd already taken too much. So you need to take vitamin C in a controlled quantity, and you need to stop as best as you can before you have too much vitamin C in your stomach and you've got diarrhea at the same time, where you can't, you know, you've already reached bowel tolerance and you have it. Dr. Cathcart described it as having trouble for a few hours, but I'm not sure if he meant trouble with your bowels with diarrhea, or whether he meant pain in the stomach. I'm not sure, but I think it was gas in my case, but it wasn't the kind of gas that I could neutralize. So maybe it was just pain from the vitamin C itself in my stomach. It was there was a lot of discomfort. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. Maybe I had it for a couple of hours, I'm not sure, but that was the day I took 36 grams, and then the next day I took 12 grams and reached bowel tolerance limit, and then the next day 6 grams, finally, after 78 grams, I had finally, I'm not even sure what day I had the stomach problem, come to think of it. I'm not even sure. I thought I was sure that it was the day that I took the 30 grams. That seems the most likely, but also just from the standpoint of the quantity of 12 grams not being very much. You normally would not have a problem with 12 grams, ever. So I don't think that would cause any stomach pain. It's just 12 grams is enough to wipe out almost every infection if you catch it early. And I took 12 grams on the next time I got a sore throat, which was a couple of weeks later, I think it was, or something. Was it? Yeah, it was a week. Was it 1 week or 2 weeks? Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks later when I had the second infection. A sore throat again. I was coming down with something, but 12 grams wiped it out, you know, on the same day. And then the next infection I had, 2 grams wiped it out. And that was the same day too. But I really caught that one early. So every time you get a sore throat, when you swallow and it doesn't go away, that's a bad sore throat. I mean that's if you swallow and your sore throat does not go away when you swallow a few times, then you're coming down with something, and vitamin C can wipe it out. Even 2 grams of vitamin C can wipe it out completely. And then the sore throat's gone and you don't get sick. It's that simple. So that's what I did on the third infection I had recently. So I had three recent serious infections that were throat infections, or that manifested in the throat at first. It could have been strep. It could have been different things. And I was aware that it could have been caused by my food not being cooked well enough and being left on the stove without being reheated sufficiently as well. That could have caused some of these infections. But, you know, on one of those days I was out shopping and could have picked it up out there when I was outside too, when having contact with other people. But David says that for those who are seeking his soul, for its ruin, they will come into the lowest parts of the earth and would become a portion for foxes, having been delivered over to the power of the sword in verse 10. The king himself will rejoice in God. There, that's what it is. The king himself will. Himself will is where I have a problem. The king himself will rejoice in God. If I don't say the word self with enough enunciation at the end, then I can have trouble with the word will. The king himself will rejoice in God is easy to say. Everyone swearing by him will boast. Even him will boast could be a problem too. Could be a problem to get from him to will. Him will. Him will. Yeah, that can be challenging to pronounce. For everyone swearing by him will boast, for the mouth of those speaking falsehood will be stopped up. Well, we don't swear nowadays. Jesus said, don't swear at all. Just let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. But back in David's time, people swore when they wanted to make a promise about something, or when they wanted to be, you know, showing that how sure they were of something, they would swear by God. According to this, everyone swearing by God will boast, it says there. David said in verse 11. But that scripture, verse 3, your loving kindness is better than life. I don't think that many scriptures get better than that in terms of the power they have to transform our lives. Isaiah 43, how long is that? Very long. Okay. We're up to 52 minutes. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Let's read this chapter now, little children. Isaiah 43. And now this is what Jehovah has said, your creator, O Jacob, and your former, O Israel. Do not be afraid, for I have repurchased you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. In case you should pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not flood over you. In case you should walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, neither will the flame itself singe you. For I am Jehovah, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom for you, Ethiopia and Seba in place of you, owing to the fact that you have been precious in my eyes. You have been considered honorable, and I myself have loved you. And I shall give men in place of you, and national groups in place of your soul. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. From the sun rising I shall bring your seed, and from the sunset I shall collect you together. I shall say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not keep back. Bring my sons from far off, and my daughters from the extremity of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, and that I have created for my own glory, that I have formed, yes, that I have made. Bring forth a people blind, though eyes themselves exist, and the ones deaf, though they have ears. Let the nations all be collected together at one place, and let national groups be gathered together. Who is there among them that can tell this, or can they cause us to hear even the first things? Let them furnish their witnesses, that they may be declared righteous, or let them hear and say, it is the truth. You are my witnesses, is the utterance of Jehovah, even my servant whom I have chosen, in order that you may know and have faith in me, and that you may understand that I am the same one. Before me there was no God formed, and after me there continued to be none. I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. I myself have told forth and have saved, and have caused it to be heard, and there was among you no strange God. So you are my witnesses, is the utterance of Jehovah, and I am God. Also, all the time, I am the same one, and there is no one effecting deliverance out of my own hand. I shall get active, and who can turn it back? This is what Jehovah has said, the repurchaser of your people, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send to Babylon and cause the bars of the prisons to come down, and the Chaldeans in the ships with whining cries on their part. I am Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. This is what Jehovah has said, the one making a way through the sea itself, and a roadway even through strong waters, the one bringing forth the war chariot and the horse, the military force and the strong ones at the same time. They will lie down. They will not get up. They will certainly be extinguished like a flaxen wick. They must be put out. Do not remember the first things, and to the former things do not turn your consideration. Look, I am doing something new. Now it will spring up. You people will know it. Will you not? Really? Through the wilderness I shall set a way. Through the desert rivers, the wild beast of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I shall have given water even in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to cause my people, my chosen one, to drink, the people whom I have formed for myself, that they should recount the praise of me. But you have not called even me, O Jacob, because you have grown weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep of your whole burnt offerings, and with your sacrifices you have not glorified me. I have not compelled you to serve me with a gift, nor have I made you weary with frankincense. For me you have bought no sweet cane with any money, and with the fat of your sacrifices you have not saturated me. In reality you have compelled me to serve because of your sins. You have made me weary with your errors. I am the one that is wiping out your transgressions for my own sake, and your sins I shall not remember. Remind me, let us put ourselves on judgment together. Tell your own account of it, in order that you may be in the right. Your own father, the first one, has sinned, and your own spokesmen have transgressed against me. So I shall profane the princes of the holy place, and I will give Jacob over as a man devoted to destruction, and Israel over to words of abuse. That's the end of Isaiah 43. So he's executing judgment on his own people, Israel, here. Even though he says he has the capacity to wipe out their transgressions in verse 25 and to not remember their sins. The first one sinned. That could be Adam. Right. Adam sinned. He was their father. He's all of the father of all mankind, all of our father. And so when Jehovah says in verse 27, your own father sinned, he's talking about Adam, possibly there. Apparently it is Adam. But then the other people who came after Adam also sinned. your own spokesmen or your own interpreters have sinned. So the way that they interpreted the Bible was wrong, apparently. Or the way they interpreted God's purpose from his word, they were doing it incorrectly because they were sinning against God, and Jehovah was saying that, you know, he had grown weary of them, actually, in verse 24. They had made him weary, but also Israel had grown weary of Jehovah, and they had not brought their burnt offerings. But God didn't compel them, in verse 23, he didn't compel them to serve Jehovah with a gift. Jehovah didn't compel them to bring him gifts. For me, they had bought no sweet cane with any money. With the fat of their sacrifices, they had not saturated him. They didn't give gifts to Jehovah because they had grown weary of Jehovah in verse 22. But there's something in this earlier part here where he talks about the fact that he would, for their sake, send to Babylon cause the bars of the prisons to come down. That's what he did later on. This is still Isaiah's time, which is 200 years before he brought Babylon into subjection and defeated Babylon using the Medes and the Persians. And the Chaldeans are the people of Babylon referred to there. The Chaldeans in the ships with whining cries on their part would be brought down or somehow brought into subjection or, you know, had their authority stripped away from them, apparently. But Jehovah was the God of Israel. He was the creator, the creator of Israel, verse 15, and the King of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. All of those things Jehovah was to Israel. And he delivered them from Babylon 200 years after this was written, in fulfillment of that prophecy about sending to Babylon to cause the bars of the prisons to come down. We know the time when Isaiah lived. All we have to do to find that out is look at Isaiah chapter 1. The son of Amoz, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. That's in 725 is the year one of Hezekiah. That's 700 years before Christ. Babylon was conquered in 539. And the time of Ahaz is 741 is his year one. So that's more than 200 years prior to 539 when Babylon was defeated by the Medes and Persians. So this is a prophecy 200 years in advance. Or perhaps slightly less than 200 years in advance of the defeat of Babylon. It's quite a remarkable thing to be able to, for anyone to be able to prophesy 200 years in advance. But that's the power of Jehovah, and Jehovah could put the prophecy into the mouth of his prophet, Isaiah, in this case. So that was very good. That's very enjoyable to have done the study for today. I think that there are lots of things to learn from studying the Bible. We don't just study it by reading it one time. We refer back to it. We look at how different parts relate to other parts. We study it in detail at different times. I don't know what I'm going to do now for the rest of the day, or what I'm going to do with my I'm still in shock because of what happened. I don't know why. I think whatever protection, whatever voltage protection I do have might not be sufficient, you know, but it's, I do have some kind of protection, I believe, but it's perhaps I could have better. I don't have an uninterruptible supply. Perhaps the laptop is better protected because it has its own battery. That's what I'm thinking, but I don't know if even that's protected well enough, but anything can happen. Everything is an opportunity, though. Everything can be seen as an opportunity, because if I do have a failed monitor, if that's true, and I'll be trying hard to ascertain whether that is true or not, but if I do have a failed monitor, I'll be striving to, or, you know, putting forth some effort to make that determination so that I can decide what to do. And that's just an opportunity, because I've learned already during the time when I've had these monitors, I've learned more about monitors and how they work and, you know, how to connect them and, you know, how they work with Thunderbolt 4 and so on. So it's an it will be an opportunity for me to reassess what kind of monitor I want to have, and maybe to buy a new monitor. It's a possibility. It's one possibility. But now I'll be trying to see whether I can get this Acer monitor to work with any computer system at all. Like, maybe it'll work with my iMac, my 2011 iMac. If I hook it up to that, it might work, maybe, and if it works with that one, you know, then I'll at least have it. I'll have my system set up in a new way, but I'll be able to make it work by rearranging the monitors if I want to, or whatever. If this monitor works. But if it doesn't work, that'll be in a way a bigger opportunity, because I'll be able to possibly purchase another monitor. But I won't need another monitor. That's the other thing. I bought these monitors knowing that some of them might not even work with my system. I mean, I was aware that there might be some problems, such as the flickering on the Philips, for example. I've had some flickering with issues, that is, with the Philips. Not that they don't work, but that they sometimes have flickering. But it's just that it's such a big display and it's trying to display so much information. I think that's what causes the flickering. It's not anything wrong with the M1 Max, I don't believe, that's causing that. But also the fact that that monitor wasn't designed for the M1 Max. Whereas if I'd bought an Apple display, I could buy an Apple monitor, an Apple display. I could buy one of the Apple displays. That's one thing I could do. And that might be worth doing, right? It's an opportunity. Everything that happens is an opportunity. It doesn't matter what happens. Although it might, if you are, you know, lacking the necessary funds to purchase a new monitor, of course, it might set you back. In terms of time, it might take some time to save up the funds to purchase a new monitor. And that might be true in my case as well. I don't know, but I mean, it may not be. But I mean, depending on what else I want to spend the money on too, but it might be an issue. So, but even if it costs time in the sense of having to save up the money, that can also be seen as a benefit, because I can use the time when I'm saving up the money to study more about the monitors and to study what monitor I should buy or what way I should connect my system better. I can study ways to protect my system against power outages too. There's an opportunity coming. Every bad thing that happens leads to a new opportunity if you look for it. That's what I really believe is true, but it's also something I want to share with others because I think it has great benefits. So nothing that happens is really bad, even though it looks bad or feels bad. It feels very bad at the time. But it's not bad if you can quickly, the more quickly you can get past the badness of it and the pain of it and move into the learning phase of and the recovery phase from it, the happier you will be, and the more potential benefits you will find. Whereas if you focus on the badness of it and the pain of it, you can do more damage to your system by connecting it wrongly or by being careless. And there were a couple of times during this recovery process where I had to reconfigure things. There were a couple of times where I easily had an opportunity that where I could have, you know, even just physically, I could have knocked something off the table, or I could have destroyed some equipment by careless clumsiness or something like that. Easily could have happened. That easily could have happened. So making sure that you remain positive is something I would recommend to people in general, no matter what happens, because it is an advantage to have things go wrong. The fact that my furnace stopped working was an advantage because it led me to find a way to become independent of a furnace. I don't need to have a furnace. I can function without a furnace, and I learned that by having the furnace fail. And now I'm saving more money by not having a furnace because I don't have to maintain the furnace. But I wouldn't have learned that if the furnace were still working. So everything is an advantage, and that's always been the case. Well, the problem in the bathroom, I taped up. Let me explain what I did before I sign off here. And then I'll have to create the different formats of videos. And I'm creating a smaller audio format. Yesterday, I created a smaller audio format with a lower quality for people who don't have the bandwidth or the funds to pay for bandwidth. And I also created, unfortunately, that video required, it worked better with video because of the superconductor. And in that video, I mentioned the word semiconductor, and I meant superconductor. Several times I said the word semiconductor, and I meant superconductor, just for reference on that yesterday's video. But I wanted to say, what I wanted to say was two things. I want to talk about the different formats I've created now, and also the taping up in the bathroom. The formats for the video, I found two new formats for video. One is a tiny one, which is 90p, 90 pixels is the size of it in height. And I was able to create it with a fairly smaller, quite a bit smaller size, but it has much higher quality audio possibly than it needs too. I'm not sure if I was able to, yeah, I think I made the audio lower quality on that too. I think I did. But there's that video, the 90p, and then I also made a full 720p with a 5 frame per second. That's what the other one, that's what that is. So that one it has, the final letters are different in the name because it's got 5 frames per second, 5 FP, I think it's called probably. Or is it 5 frames? 5 frame rate, what's it called? Oh yeah, I've got it here, I can look at it here. Yesterday's videos, FR5, yeah, the frame rate was 5. And the other one was the frame rate was 15. Right, that was one that was RF6. That was the 90p. So I used a 15 frame rate for the 90p. So it was, so where the name says FR15, that's the 90p, and for the FR5, that's 720p, which is very, very small compared to its. It was still 160 megabytes compared to the FR15 90p, which is only 73, I think. Yeah, 73.7. So they're the two new formats that I created, in addition to the small format audio, which is 12.9 megabytes for yesterday's audio, which compared to the full audio of 64.5 megabytes. So 12 megabytes was a lot smaller in terms of audio for the file size. So it's the same audio, just a slightly lower quality, or a significantly lower quality, but it's. So I'll be looking into whether I want to release, or how many of the high quality files I want to publish, because it's so much more efficient to publish the slightly lower quality audio. And the way I do it is, you know, it's using. If you look at the name of that file, it talks about ASR. The audio sample rate is 8 kilobits per second, and the audio. Bit rate is 24 kilobits per second. So that's the ABR, that's what ABR, audio bit rate is 24 kilobits per second. The audio sample rate is 8 kilobits per second. That's what those numbers mean. The 90p is self-explanatory, that's the video size. The RF6 means the RF setting on the video quality. The lower, the higher is the quality, and you have to have higher quality when you go to a very small frame size. That's why it's RF6, which is a very high quality. But I was still able to keep the file down in size to 73, which is pretty small, very small for for the fact that it still allows you to see the YouTube video showing the superconductor going around the track. And for the people who don't have video, I'll explain it so you can understand. There was a superconductor going around a track, and then because it was kept at the at a very cold temperature, near the temperature of liquid nitrogen, by dumping liquid nitrogen onto it or soaking it and bathing it in liquid nitrogen, it made the superconductor become superconductive. Then it was able to just be pressed down near a track. It would not touch the track, but it could be pushed around the track, and it would go round and round and round endlessly without stopping. And it would just follow the circle because the magnets were in the path of a circle. It stayed within the magnetic field lines. And then when he flipped the table over, he could actually have this superconductor stay on the bottom of the track. It would also not get closer. When it was on top, it wouldn't get closer to the track. Wherever he put it near the track, it would stay there. He could press it lower and it would stay there, and raise it up and it would stay there. But it would still be able to be, he could still push it around the track and it would go round and round without ever stopping. No friction, except for air resistance, of course. So it would stop eventually because of air resistance, but in a vacuum it would go forever. So then he flipped the track and he pressed the small puck. It was the size of a shape of a puck. He pressed the puck up near, or just put it. He didn't press it. He just put it up near the track, and it was held there by the magnetic field lines in a quantum lock type situation. And this quantum lock is, he explains in the video for those who get to watch it, but I may talk about that later. But even with the track upside down, he could press this, he could push the puck in one direction or the other, and it would go round and round and round underneath the track and would still stay within the track, and it was suspended underneath the track, and it would hang there and go around and around forever, except for air resistance causing it to slow down. And when the track was right side up, it was suspended there. It was also suspended there. And he could put something on top of it and it wouldn't fall off, or it wouldn't cause the puck to collapse or to be pushed down onto the table either. That he could put he put an orange on top or a piece of bread, and then he could still push the puck and it would go round and round and round again. But he couldn't do that, obviously, when he turned the table upside down, because the bread wouldn't stay on the puck. He could have put it on the puck if it was thin enough bread, I guess, but the bread would have to be above the puck, and the puck was near the track, so there was no room to put anything on top of the puck when the puck was underneath the table. He only did that when the puck was on top of the table, when the table was right side up. But it even worked with the table upside down, as far as the puck going round and round and being locked in place on the track. It would go round the track and stay in the boundaries of the track, and it would go round and round forever if there were no air resistance. So that was the experiment that was so remarkable. What I did with taping, I just got some Scotch tape and a piece of cardboard the right size, and I trimmed it a little bit to make it fit better, and I just taped a piece of cardboard over the fan grill, the grill of the fan where the air would normally be drawn in. I covered it with cardboard and put Scotch tape all the way around, sealed it up, and but then there was a problem, I think, because I had to seal the outer perimeter of the grill, not just the holes of the grill, because it was leaking. The odor was coming in through the perimeter of the grill. I put Scotch tape around the outer part of the grill and taped it to the ceiling as well. And if I didn't do that, I'm going to do that. But I know I did that but the reason I think I may not remember is because I had to tape the light fixture, which is right nearby. There was smell coming, odor was coming through that light fixture because it had a hole cut in the ceiling for it as well. So I had to tape around the light fixture with the Scotch tape and tape it to the ceiling as well. So once I taped everything in that bathroom, there's no more odor. Then one day later, all the odor was gone because it couldn't come in the house anymore. So once that odor passes away through gradually just drying up, or you know, the decomposition of whatever it is finished, once that's finished, I'll be able to take the tape off again, hopefully, without damaging the ceiling too much. And you know, the bathroom will be back the way it was. But, you know, because I can't use the fan now with the tape and the cardboard, you know, preventing the air from being drawn through it. So that's the story. That's what happened in the bathroom. And that solved the problem wonderfully well. That prevents the issue of this terrible odor coming in, which could be very harmful and could be causing infection even. I think it might have been causing my sore throat. That's the incredible part of it. So this is Ward Green. It's been a pleasure. It's been an exciting day because I've learned a lot. I had a catastrophe disaster of sorts here. And I spent a couple of hours today I got up very late today because I went to bed at 7 in the morning last night. But I got up about 4 or 5 or something. When I was about to make a video, it was, I'm not sure, I can't remember what time I started and had these issues now. Well, yes, I can. I don't have to remember. I can just look it up. I know when these things happen because I wrote them down. It was 1600 hours when the main Acer was, when I first mentioned the problem. 1622 hours. That's when I first had the problem. So I didn't get to start this video until an hour and 20 ago now, which is about 2000 hours when I started the video. It was 1956, that's right. 1956 is when I started the video. So that was 3 hours and a half. 3.5 hours it took me of troubleshooting before I got to make my video that I would have made earlier if it hadn't been for the problem. So that's what I've been doing today. That's why I'm late today. And this is Ward Green. Thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy everything as much as I can. And I know I will enjoy it more so because I had the problem, because I'll learn more. But I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening. I hope you will continue the study if you so desire, little children, and have a wonderful learning process about God's Word. And have a great day. Bye for now. Yes, God bless you.